Hello, I'm Dan.
I'm Simon.
And this is the Wikicast, a podcast where Wikipedia takes us to a random article each week and we talk about what we find. Simon, what are we talking about this week?
This week, Daniel, we're talking about Walter Hummel, parentheses, musicologist.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay, right, this is good.
For once, music is relevant to the podcast.
This is appropriate, yeah. As well as an excuse, we now have a license to talk about music for as long as we like.
If you're not a musician, apologies for this episode, but you're going to want to keep listening because, my goodness, do we have a treat for you in the correspondence this week. So yeah, going back to the wiki article though, Walter Hummel, who was born in Salzburg in 1883 and also died in Salzburg in 1968, was an Austrian musicologist and pedagogue. Basically, he was known as a scholar on the life of Mozart.
Oh, cool.
A guide in the Salzburg Mozart Society. That definitely sounds like a tour guide. And also its vice president. And he published a chronicle about the activities of the society. Oh my god, he was balls deep in this Mozart Society.
Really? Or if you're going to be balls deep in anything,
I don't know. Mozart Society wouldn't be my choice.
Would it not?
It'd probably be my girlfriend over like an abstract concept.
Bring the class back down now.
Classy Clark.
Oh, for goodness sake. Anyway, go on.
It's
go
quite
on.
A short article, to be fair. I think this guy was not terribly significant musically.
Both of our mothers listen to this.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know if mine does.
Does she not?
I'm not sure. I know that they watch all my videos. Particularly my dad.
That's cool.
Shut up.
I know they watch my videos.
I don't think they listen to the podcast. Well, they don't have smartphones. And I don't think they'd sit down around a laptop and listen to it like a radio show. Because they're used to quality audio, like Radio 4. Yeah. Not this bollocks.
Not this rubbish.
So it's quite a short article this time around. But basically, it's an intro to Mozart, I guess. We haven't sung that much Mozart, have we? We've sung his Ave Verum Corpus.
We've done his Kleine Spatzenmess.
Oh, yeah, the Sparrow
Mass. Little Sparrow Mass. What else have we done of his?
We did do one other Mass, I think.
Yeah.
But I need to call him an artist of sound, if you will. He didn't write a huge amount of church music, certainly compared to his other output. Like, he's much more known for...
Compared to...
Like operas.
Yeah. Certainly compared to kind of the kind of artists that we normally sing. he's not as battened down into the kind of choral zone.
Yeah, like when we think of... Probably the most prolific composer that we sing is Stanford. Probably. He's all about the choral music. Whereas Mozart, I guess, a product of his time, really. I mean, he was paid by the court to write, wasn't he?
Mm.
He did the high art stuff for them, and then he also did the low art, if you like, operas, crowd pleasers, like the Magic Flute and stuff like that. He definitely did a Mass in C minor, which he wrote two solos in for his wife, which are absolutely gorgeous. Is Mass in C minor, but that's the only Mass I know of by him, and I don't know how many. Of course it's not. Sorry, the Sparrow Mass. Yeah, but I don't think there's many. Basically,
I mean, the vast majority of stuff that I know about him, which isn't a great deal, comes from Amadeus.
Because role did you play in Amadeus, Dan? Are you itching to talk about this?
Why not?
If I must.
I suppose
my stage days.
Yeah, back in the day. I played a different character on several days. I was Emperor Joseph.
Oh yeah.
On one of the days, and then I was an understudy for Salieri.
Oh right. Did you ever play Salieri?
Fun. No.
Oh.
I knew his part, but I never got to do it because the guy who was playing Salieri was very good. He was 2 years older than me as well.
Were you ever tempted to just like throw him down a set of stairs?
Oh yeah, all the time. All the time.
Like a true Salieri.
I never got the opportunity to the monologues that he has in that show.
He's a fascinating character.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, how different is the play from the film?
Not a great deal. The narrative within the play is slightly more
condensed.
Yeah, well, no, because you cover all the same points. I think it's just it differs in, you know, like so many of the scenes in the film are there because it will look good.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's not serving a strict purpose, then they'll be like, you know, we'll get rid of it. But for the most part, I think it rings pretty true.
Because the amazing film. I know if Mum is listening, I know it's. I think it's her favourite film, Amadeus. And if you dear reader have not watched it, absolutely do, and watch the extended edition if you can, because there's definitely a couple of scenes that make a lot more sense with a little bit more context. But it is a very long film.
It's one of the go-to films, certainly was for me, when music was compulsory, before you could choose it as an elective. So I think that would have been year seven was the last time it was compulsory, certainly for me. And then you go on. It was one of the films that you'd watch in class. And it always caused issues, let's say. Because
there are boobies in it.
There's that scene. And you know what I'm talking about. You know that scene. Because there are the sweets as well, the nipples of Venus.
Yeah, and when she leans forward, there's a lot of cleavage.
There's a lot. And then there's just another bit where she just...
Well, that's only in the extended edition.
Yeah, we watched the extended edition.
Why as a teacher would you...
No idea.
Well, I remember in year seven, so being age 11, my history teacher just busted out Gladiator for us to watch.
I thought she busted out hers. I was like, crikey.
Now, Duncan Bird, my history teacher, would have struggled with that.
Fair.
But yeah, like, we were watching the opening... You've seen Gladiator, presumably.
Yeah.
The opening battle sequence, and he was just like shouting over the dinner. It was like, look at the test judo formations, and people were like, these Germans getting cut down.
Yeah.
And then in the gladiator arena when they have the chariot,
there's Germans getting cut down.
Yeah, in the Teutoburg Forest at the start of Gladiator.
Oh, the very big. Yeah. Sorry.
And then in the arena, there's I think they're Nubians on like chariots, and one of them gets sawn in half, and him just being like. Yeah, I mean, that probably happened.
Yeah.
Like, why are you showing this to us, sir?
It is an excellent
film. Feels like you need a permission slip.
It is long, though.
Gladiator.
Yeah. It is very long. I watched it not long ago, maybe a month ago.
Also riddled with really glaring inaccuracies and mistakes.
Yeah.
Like the famous shot of the guy holding a boom after the Battle of the Teutoburg Forest. Actually, that's not it, because the Romans won the battle in the film. But he's just holding a boom and he's got jeans on, and then you just see him calmly walk out of frame. And it's like, how did you miss that?
Yeah, just
he
leave
must
it
have
in.
Done other takes.
Yeah, yeah.
Or there's the shot in the back of in the arena where there's a canister, like a silver canister, clearly on show in one of the chariots. I sound like comic book guy, I realise. But there is also the fact that there's like a printing press. They have like paper leaflets they're giving out with like Combatus very violentist.
It's
like
tenuous at most. See, it's interesting now that we've gone onto the topic of Roman and kind of Greek.
You could say
stuff.
We're Roman around.
We're Roman all around the place. I was watching Brave the other day.
Oh yeah.
And you know there's that bit in it with the moon plays a fairly kind of considerable role in it. Isn't there a part in Brave where, certainly to my memory, it's like, I'll get you the moon, and this is the whole curse with the bear and like the hunting and stuff.
I don't remember
it also falls
important.
Into.
Okay.
Basically, the point I'm trying to make is I can't for the life of me, wasn't there a Roman myth about the moon? Namely, see, I'm either thinking of something else. There's the girl in the tower who lives far away from the guy, and he says he'll swim to find her, and then he drowns. Do you know that one?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not very up to date on my Roman folk tales.
So I really should be, because it's what I do. but I can't for the life of me. I'm sure there was something about gifting the moon to someone.
Are you thinking perhaps of Bruce Almighty when he tugs the moon close to Earth?
For God's sake. I don't think so, but it's very possible that I might be.
Noted Roman Emperor Jim Carrey.
Yeah, God, I don't know. It's been really bothering me. I can't for the life of me think of what it was, and I just spent like...
So all the clues we've got is it's something to do with the moon and Rome.
But I then looked it up, and Selene is the goddess of the moon.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with her. I read through like a whole Wikipedia article about her trying to find this myth, and I couldn't find it.
It might not be Roman. Or is it in your mind that it's a Roman
I'm
thing?
Pretty sure it's Roman.
What if it's Greek?
Then we're all in we're in trouble.
Then we need to call Rose, our resident Greek expert.
Yeah, it was just so annoying because I basically spent about 10 minutes on the internet trying to find this thing. And I know in my mind's eye exactly what I'm trying to find, but then my Googling, it was like my head was working three times faster than my
You're
thumbs.
Looking at the search bar, the blank search bar, you're just like, and your fingers are frozen.
Yeah, I just couldn't do it.
And then you're just like, fuck it.
It was a struggle. Yeah. I was just kind of like, I've got to go to bed now. I'm stressing myself out too much. I couldn't do it.
Oh, wow, that stressed you out.
I can't stand it when, you know, it's similar. Similarly with, there's another podcast I listen to with Frank Skinner.
How dare you?
Frank Skinner on a Saturday morning on Absolute Radio. And they have a thing on the show where it's called Idiotic Eureka Moments. And it's things like that again that really just really piss me off, like something really really like I don't know, something really glaring obvious that you never really you like the news is called the news because it's new stuff like that, and you suddenly go, oh, shit. Oh my, yeah. So these idiotic Eureka moments. I had one the other day. I can't remember what it was.
Like when we were watching Game of Thrones. And we watched...
Oh, Pike!
What?
Pike.
Oh no, I also meant when we went to see the most recent episode, which is season 7, episode 4, live, and we watched the end of episode 3. And when Sam goes to... He's in the Citadel. This isn't spoilery for the main storyline at all, don't worry if you're listening.
It's not spoilery like Podrick eating bees.
Podrick, stop eating bees!
We'll come on to that in a minute, but okay. Yeah.
But Sam's in the Citadel, and he basically successfully accomplishes something, to be not spoilery. And the Grand Maester says, "How did you do it?" And he just says, "Oh, I've read the book and I followed the instructions." And we were just imagining all the maesters being like,
"What? Hang on. Guys, come in.
Get the lads in here. Come in. Opens the door."
I've just been reading the pictures, my lord. No. So those words there, read them.
This flurry of activity in the library.
And there was the other one that I suddenly realised that Pike is called Pike, and it's...
As in the home of the Islanders.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like...
Which is spelled P-Y-K-E.
A seafaring nation.
Yeah, they're Vikings.
It sounds like the I've just had it a
sounds
moment
like the fish.
And the wall. The wall is called the wall because it's a big wall. I mean, this George R. R. Martin guy. He's a clever
he's
dude.
He's got it. I mean, he wrote books for the spoilers before the TV show even became a thing.
Yeah.
How did he know what was going to happen?
Yeah.
Bloody try-hard prick. Yeah. He wanted to ruin it for everyone. What we were also saying was, basically, I do apologise if the actor who plays Podrick Payne ever listens to this podcast. But
you're really great, by the way, but...
We love you, and particularly Pixel Girl really likes Pod. We thought that he'd put on a little bit of weight between seasons. So it cut to him with Brienne at a particular location, to not be spoilery. And he just had like quite a swollen face, like when you see pictures of puppies that have eaten bees.
Yeah.
So every time he was on screen, we were just yelling, "Stop eating bees, Podrick!" And then Liv, she's caught up, she watched it, and then when she came over this morning said, "Oh my god, you're exactly right."
Yeah.
She sees it too.
It looks like he's had a bad allergic reaction to something. I mean, to be fair, he probably is pretty swollen given how much
Brienne
yeah, absolutely ruins him.
He's great, but he's got the big old dick.
He has.
To make up for
he's
it.
Got quite the donger,
like
I believe.
And his magic penis.
A donger kebab.
But what an episode as well. Again, we won't be spoilery.
No.
But, oh my god. Goodness. One of those episodes that finishes.
There was a point where my favourite character...
I
was worried. I got very, very stressed. Well, we were sitting... So we watched... we're really fortunate in Exeter to have... There's a pub called Hole in the Wall. And every week they do a live showing.
It's a sports bar rather than the pub per se, in that they have about 20 screens and various, but even at the bar, when you're ordering, you don't have to miss it.
Yeah.
And when Game of Thrones is rebroadcast, because it's like 1 a.m. When it actually happens here, which is 9 p.m. on a Monday evening.
9 p.m. on a Monday morning.
I was going to say, as opposed to the other 9 p.m.
Yeah.
they turn all the screens over to Game of Thrones, and it's pretty packed.
Yeah, it's really good. And there's something so different to watching it with a load of strangers, because you get, like the ending of this episode, they suddenly cut to black, and everyone went,
"No!"
Yeah, and
The moment where I have to censor this, when and are in the cave, and there was like getting closer and closer, and we were like, "Huh?" And then it cut to another scene, and you could hear everyone go like, "Oh,
kiss him!" And he's got a reputation for.
Oh, that's definitely going to be sense.
Yeah.
It's going to be as cryptic as possible.
For action.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair.
I mean, what about that time when he just noshed off?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
I mean, he's got form, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, it was really fun watching it live. And also, the jokes landed. Like, the whole Rickon, Dickon thing.
Yeah, they were funny.
Yeah.
It was just, this series so far has been superb.
It's been top-notch, but I think it might be the best season so far, actually.
And we've got next episode is meant to be the big, big one.
Yeah, next one's called Eastwatch, I believe. Yeah. If you are listening to this live... Actually, that's the point. By the time this comes out, we're building hype, because for Americans, it comes out the day before Game of Thrones does, right? I like how we've already settled into a rhythm with this podcast. We're like 5 or 6 episodes in, and do email in, by the way, if this is the case, because we've had some people tweet us and saying that it's like become a sit down thing that you listen to, or somebody trains for 10Ks and listens to it, which is, I imagine you're trying to run away from the sound.
Yeah, a lot of the correspondence I've received has been people saying, like, if they're on a train or they're on a bus somewhere, and or just on a walk, I think it's, and I, listening to things while I'm doing a fairly kind of menial task is my absolute go-to. You know, usually I'll be listening to some form of audiobook or, you know, if I'm just, I get stressed if I have to walk to the shops where we live. It's about a, I'm going to say, 120 second walk to the co-op.
2 minutes, some might say.
Some might say that, but I'm going to say 120 seconds.
You're all about the precision.
Yeah. And even in that short time, I'll leave the house and I'll take a few steps away and I'm like, oh, I don't have my headphones. I go, and then if I'm really obnoxious, I'll just stick my phone in my top pocket and play it out the speakers.
Oh, you are the worst kind of person.
I did that the other day.
On public transport and do that?
No, God, no.
Okay, you're not that bad. That's good.
No, but I did. I was walking past. I nearly said the name of the street.
The top secret Clark Moore Tower.
Yeah, yeah. There were quite a few people enjoying, kind of like, you know, it was really nice weather, and they were out in the gardens and sitting in their front lawns, and it was quite nice. And then I just came strolling through blaring the Trinity Te Deum, like this beautiful, like serene, peaceful summer day. And then you see me just coming in, like, oh man,
Dan's favorite piece of music, possibly of all time.
Yeah. It's going to be amazing. And I'm so excited. So, one of the other choirs, that I'm involved in, instead of singing though, I conduct, is Exeter University Singers. We've got some videos coming out soon, so find us on Facebook. They're really, really good. We're doing a Cathedral Evensong on the 26th of October, I think it is. And we've just been planning all the music for what we're going to be doing, and I won the toin cos. The toin cos?
The toin cos, yes.
Okay.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, let's go with it. The toin cos, to conduct the Trinity Te Deum. And I confirmed that our dear friend, Dr. Jones, Junior, Dr. Jones.
He's Scottish. For context.
That was quite a good Scottish accent.
No, I mean, the fact that, like, we're just shouting, Junior! Like, that's the only reason why he's
also called... His name is Jones. Dr. Jones, as in Indiana Jones.
Oh, okay, that is
that's true. That's a bigger point,
that
surely.
That is a bigger plot point.
Yeah.
I'll concede the floor.
Yeah. Dr. Jones is available for to play for us, which is very exciting.
Because he's a phenomenal musician.
He's awesome. In fact, I'm going to his recital this evening in the cathedral, which is very exciting. And we're bringing a friend who I don't think has been to an organ recital before as well. So
organ recital definitely sounds like something to do with penises.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I've got it. We're watching an organ recital. It makes it sound like you're going to have Podrick Payne. He's going to come out on the stage, put a stool, drop trowel, and then just jerk it for half an hour.
What a lovely image.
And then, you know, it's a full cathedral full of people, and then there's people, you see couples in the front, like leaning over to each other, whisper something like, oh wow, he's really going for it.
See, I just think of it as a colossal, vaguely liturgical orgy. If you're in a packed cathedral for an organ recital, and you go, oh yeah, an organ recital.
Father James has been practicing.
Yeah.
They are really weird. Organ recitals are weird though, because like, maybe it's because we're used to performing rather than being in the audience, but it's strange, so strange to me to be sat down and not actively participating. That's the first point. But secondly, if you're watching a choir or musicians, like an ensemble of any kind, you've got focal points to look at. Like you can watch the soloist, you can watch the conductor. Mm. With an organ recital, you are, if you took the sound away, as in if you recorded it and just played it black silently, it's the weirdest thing. It's a bunch of people looking at a bunch of pipes.
Yeah, okay.
And then every now and again being like, yes. Well done, pipes.
Yeah, yeah. It is strange. It's also quite funny that certainly in the way that Exeter Cathedral is laid out, it's a little bit of a mad dash from the lectern to the organ loft. So when I went and saw the Budleigh Salterton Male Voice Choir last weekend, did a concert in the cathedral, and the one, the only,
David Davis
was playing.
Lad.
And he'd be accompanying people on the piano in the nave, and then immediately after would be playing, he's played Sortie in E-flat, which is my favourite piece.
Sounds like a fairground ride.
Yeah, it's just... It's amazing.
We'll include the link in the description.
Yeah, it's really good.
It was like when we were in... you weren't there, but when we did the Germany tour a couple of years ago, and Michael played the organ and then had to come up and conduct, because Michael's our musical director. And so he did this piece, and there was all the applause, and then you just hear him run down the stairs, and you just hear like the... And then he just said in English, like, it's a long way. And then just launched into conducting.
This is what David did, except David didn't run. He just walked, like, comically quickly. It looked brilliant. He just did this really, really determined stride out.
He's got quite short legs as well. He's a small man. Yeah. So his legs just going out.
Oh, it was amazing. It was very, very funny.
But also next to cathedral, you've got the pipes and the minstrels gallery, which confused the hell out of us when we first heard them. Because for most organs, well, if you think of a church organ, you see them, right? You see the huge rays of pipes, and then sometimes you'll have...
They're hard to miss.
Yeah, it's basically the biggest instrument in the world, right? And, you know, if you have the really big, low, maybe 64-foot pipes, they'll be off to one side in a cathedral. But basically, you know, it's all in one place. But yeah, next to cathedral, there's a second set of pipes, which is... It's the only cathedral in the country to have a minstrels gallery.
I think so, yeah.
Which is where, in medieval times, they would showcase chocolate sweets to the congregation. No. That's where they put musicians. Yeah. Sorry, it's the other kind of minstrel.
That's clever. That's funny.
Thank you.
Sorry, can we all just take a moment? That's a funny joke.
I'll count to five and you can finish your laugh by then. Okay, two.
Go on, get it all out.
Three.
There we go.
Four. Five. And we're back. Thanks for coming back. And basically, it was where musicians would play. And it's also in something like the Allegri, you'd have a semi-chorus, like a smaller group of singers. But there also happened to be organ pipes. So you're listening to an organ recital, and then out of nowhere, the organist, will, like Dr. Jones, will pull a stop, and you'll suddenly hear music from above you as well. Mm. It's very cool.
It dates to 1360.
1360? Wow.
Which is interesting when you consider it. So it must have been an addition.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't in the original design.
Well, actually, when was the cathedral was still being, not built, but like what we think of as the cathedral was being added then. There's very little, like the towers are Norman, aren't they? So this is the Welcome to the Exeter Cathedral podcast.
Well, as some may know, and some may not, I actually trained for a job at the cathedral as a guide to do the tower tours. Yeah. So I know kind of a fair, I can do the spiel of the
tour
fairly well.
How many tours did you end up doing?
About 11.
Wait, you actually did tours?
Yeah, because I just kept going in for training.
Oh, right.
Day in
yeah.
and day out, they're like, "Oh, do you want to be my backstop?" And I was like, "Yeah, okay." And I just keep going back, and they just never got back to me. And that's the same with Pixel Girl.
Oh,
we were both applying together.
I didn't realize you'd actually done it. Okay, fair enough.
So when you look at Exeter Cathedral, if you look at an image of it, you can see the difference in the main body of the building, i.e. the nave, is considerably Gothic in style, whereas the towers are the original Norman towers.
And they're built out of different stone as well. It's like a hodgepodge.
Yeah, and we're missing the biggest fact about Exeter Cathedral.
Its
vaulted ceiling.
Oh.
The longest continual vaulted ceiling
in Europe.
But there is the cat.
Yeah, there is the cat flap, which I tweeted at you because... It was added in, it was like the 16th century, I want to say. There was meant to be a mouse problem in the cathedral, so they cut a hole in the bottom of one of the doors.
It's thought that this is probably not true, but it's a kind of a tale, that literally a tale of the mice. Yeah.
One,
that people like to
believe. Two,
oh, yeah,
okay. Three. You only get to three. There wasn't that much laughter.
Okay. That Hickory Dickory Dock originated in Exeter Cathedral.
Yes.
Because they used to...
Because there is an astronomical clock.
This is a bit raunchy, so do try and contain your tales, everyone. But they used to lubricate the rope pulley systems for the clock and bells. I said clock
and bells.
With animal fat. And rats and mice would run up and down. And so they employed a cat, which was paid a wage.
Of mice? Or like
no, as in
coins?
No, he was given a salary.
Huh.
I can't remember what, for the life of me, what it would be, like
a couple of shillings.
Shilling a month or something, I don't know. But that's quite funny. I think that's quite good. And it's the same cat.
Well, for the past 500 years, it's been the same cat.
It's the same cat.
Good. He must be so rich by now.
Yeah. Not only rich, he's like, he's got a little Zimmer frame. He's not doing well, bless him.
There's the cat flap, but there's also like a stairlift that now goes through the flap. Do they still have a cat? I actually don't know.
I think so. Well, there was a photo they uploaded the other day, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah, of a cat going through.
Yeah, so I think they just have a resident cat every, I don't know.
I've never seen it, though.
I don't think
I've
seen it.
We spent quite a bit of time in the cathedral.
It was in there the other day. I saw someone commenting, being like, oh, yeah, it was near the astronomical clock, which is not like
astronomical... Yeah. That's not Podrick Payne.
It's just a clock. It's quite cool.
Exeter University campus has several campus cats. Including Chairman Meow, who was the cat by my blocks, my first year accommodation. But then there's also ones, Campus Cat, which is like the main one that you'll see on campus. Such a cat slut. Really is. Like, you'll just see him like lie on the ground on his back. I'm like, yes, rub my belly.
Well, this comes back to the point I've been making last time. Cats. What are they good for? Absolutely nothing.
Everything. Wait.
Nothing.
I think listeners, sorry, readers of the podcast are basically Team Dan or Team Simon when it comes to cats.
Mm.
Maybe we could get t-shirts with that on.
Team Dan or Team Simon, also known as right or wrong.
I kind of want to do a t-shirt now of like you with like your arms crossed and like a beagle or something with his arms crossed, and there's me with a cat and like opposite sides. It's like, yeah. Civil War.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, you can have you can discuss this kind of question with cat lovers, and when you ask the question, you know, but dogs are nicer, aren't they? And most cat people be like, oh yeah, of course dogs are nicer, but I'd much rather have a cat.
I don't know if I would. I feel like there are good dogs and bad dogs in terms of temperament.
And then there are cats.
No, there are good cats and bad cats.
No.
There absolutely are.
I've never met, and I don't think I've ever met anyone who can honestly say, I've got a cat with the good nature of a dog.
Oh, I absolutely did.
No.
No, never met the cat.
It was a dog. You're thinking of your dog.
No, Henry III... was absolutely
one of the best kings we ever had. Oh, the cat.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
Because my mum had previously had two cats called Henry. We grew up with him from like 4 weeks old, so he grew up thinking he was a human. Mm. Basically, I've already told the story about my granny's will on this podcast.
I don't know.
Basically, so this cat, we used to think he was human, like to an absurd degree. He'd sit and watch TV with us, and like a human on the settee. Mm. And when my granny passed away a couple of years ago, all of my dad and his two sisters sat down with a lawyer at the kitchen table. They were all going through the contract, and then Henry sat up on the other chair that was at the table. And then when anyone was talking, he'd sort of look at them. And then someone else would start talking, he'd twist the look at them, as if he was like included in the negotiations.
Mm.
But... oh, he was dumb as shit as well, that guy.
Really?
He was not a smart boy, but bless him, I loved him to bits.
I think cats are wilier.
I think on the whole, cats are probably smarter than dogs. I think cats, and they use that to their own ends.
Mm.
Dogs are, like, too loyal to try and really do stuff to their own ends.
Yeah, I think, it comes down to, I think a cat is wise. A dog can be intelligent.
Yeah.
But a cat has wisdom. Like,
yeah,
a cat
definitely.
Can use it, can not just kind of gather information and then use that information to solve a problem, but then upon having that information be like, oh, I've got this now. Hang on,
is
I could apply this to sit. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's like the two different conclusions that you draw from having a species that waits on you and gives you food. Like, dogs conclude that humans must be gods, whereas cats conclude that
they must
be
gods. Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, it's a different outlook on the world. I feel like it's very difficult to convert somebody from one viewpoint to the other.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
he says pointedly.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, speaking of completely unnecessary and wrong viewpoints, I've got some correspondence here.
Hooray! let's do it.
We do have quite a lot. Again, if you have sent us an email and we haven't read it out, we have read every single one of these, but due to time constraints and a particularly good fan fiction this week, we simply can't read them all out. But thank you very much for sending your correspondence in.
Thank you.
We're going to start off with Jamie J93,
mm-hmm.
who sent us an email as we pressed stop record last time. So
we finished recording and my laptop went ding.
Which at least happened outside of the podcast for once.
Yeah, and speaking of which, we haven't had a technical slip up on my part
yet. We're getting better at
this. I'm so good at this. I mean, to be fair, I cocked up the introduction.
Oh yeah, a couple of times.
And I said come last week, so.
Yeah, we're all professionals here.
Yeah, yeah, we're doing so well.
Jamie says, dear Simon and Dan, apologies first of all for the late sending of this email. You don't know how accurate that is.
Yeah.
I'll try and keep this very short, as my emails are usually very long. The last one had to be read off air. Oh, he still awaits our response from the previous email. Can you get on that, please, Secretary?
Yeah, sure. Secretary, can you get on that?
What was that, Dan?
Can you just can you get on that email that we had sent to us, please?
That's all off. I'll get it.
Thanks.
I'll get it right away.
Thanks, Warwick Davis.
Thanks, Warwick. During my walk, inspired by the fanfiction and talks about Dunkirk concerning you both, I wanted to ask, Simon, would you, if you had all the knowledge you have now but living in World War II, would you be one of the developers of Britain's nuclear weapons development programme? I definitely couldn't make a nuclear weapon. The physics of how nuclear weapons work was very understood at the time, I think. That's an engineering problem. So, you know, that's just footnotes, really. So I couldn't. As opposed to even if I had the knowledge, would I? Probably not, I don't think. Mm. I still have opinions about the Americans' use of nuclear weapons. You know, it's actually very relevant now, given that Trump and Kim Jong-un in a dick swinging contest. I don't think it was necessarily. I know the argument is that more people would have died in the invasion of the islands, but demonstrate the weapon offshore. You don't need to kill however many hundred thousand civilians. Anyway, that's definitely not going to get any incendiary responses on YouTube. Further, going back to Jamie's email, two things have woken me up in the last week, namely birds called Liv.
Birds, he means the animal, right?
Avians, who seem to congregate outside my room at 1:37 a.m. What kind of birds start cawing at 1:37 a.m. that aren't owls? Dan, you're an expert on birds.
Well, just hearing that, this applies itself quite well to, you know, that scene in Romeo and Juliet? When they've just spent then,
or the just the play,
the play. They've just spent their first night together. They've consummated the marriage. They have become one. I think it's Romeo wakes up and is saying, like, "Oh look, it's light outside. We've got to go. I can hear that's the sound of the lark." And then Juliet's like, "No, 'tis but the nightingale." And they have this thing. They're basically trying to use the sound of the birds to justify what time of day it is so they can stay together longer. Basically, Jamie, that's what I'm saying you are. You're living a Shakespearean play.
Get out now while you still can.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember this in Oxford, actually. I think I had a robin outside my room that used to chirp very late at night. Because I remember I used to get in at like 1 or whatever from working and it would be tweeting and I couldn't get to sleep. So I think it might be a robin, mate. We might actually have answered your question. Oh, end of the email, which begs the question. Simon and Dan, in your years, have you ever had to deal with neighbours from hell? And what did you do to deal with them, both civilly and uncivilly? We've never had a problem here, have we?
No, our neighbours are lovely.
There's the neighbours who really like DIY on the weekends. Mm. But that's the worst we've had to deal with.
He didn't say with spite at all. There's the neighbours who really like DIY.
Gritted teeth.
To be fair...
Oh, that was that party, do you remember? There were the guys who had a birthday party, and they warned us like 3 weeks in advance, gave us the phone number. It was like, well, if there's any problems, you don't want us to do this, let us know. And then the day before, put a thing through the door saying like, right, it's the party tomorrow, here are our numbers if you have any problems. Also, if you see any witches or wizards, don't be scared, that's just the theme.
It's not a congregation.
Top notch, superb. Neighbouring.
And we had, just the other day, I had some friends over, because I'm just a popular soul, I suppose. And we were playing music outside, and I'm fairly sure one of the neighbours from a couple of doors down started singing along to whatever I was playing on the guitar. I could hear, like, humming along. I was like, oh, this is going well. I mean, they could easily tell me to shut up.
You just hear breathing on the wind, just like, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me! Fuck you! And I'm like, oh, it's music to my ears.
Yeah, yeah. 'Tis not the nightingale, 'tis the lark.
'Tis Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
Next, a very quick email from XXLemonNomeLO. It's a palindrome. XX. Heart your content, Dan and Simon. I ship diamond. Is that our?
Diamond.
Diamond?
Diamond's probably better than san.
Yeah. Don't like san. It's coarse and rough and it gets everywhere. Yeah. No, that's very it now. Good. We are san. Yeah, okay, great. I love your content, Diamond. Diamond san.
Okay.
Two dad jokes.
Oh, God.
How do cows laugh?
I don't know, Simon. How do cows laugh?
Moo ha 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 ha.
I think you've done that injustice. It's meant to be like a dramatic, scary laugh, right? Like mwah ha 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 ha.
But like, feel the count from Sesame Street.
1, 2, 3.
keep your laughter coming. 4.
That's
five.
Just fulfilling the quota of accents in the show.
Yeah.
I've got one for you, Simon.
Yep.
Did you hear about the bubble that never popped?
The what? The bubble that never popped.
Did you hear about the bubble that never popped?
I did not.
It was unbelievable.
One. That's all you're getting for that. That's about, get your laughter out in one.
Get it out.
Okay. Next up, Morgan Jones, who has very helpfully put a male symbol in his subject, because we were bad at that last time. Mm. We've got to stop assuming genders from emails. Sorry for your
It's very, very hard, to be fair. I mean, like, as much as that is a cop-out kind of excuse, it is something that genuinely I haven't really considered it before, so we are trying our best.
Oh,
well done. Jesus Christ. You put a male anyway. So, m'lady, what would you...
He started obviously by saying, "Dear the Daedal Duo." So, top work. Like, nice. Top marks from you already. I love listening to the podcast and watching the vlogs on YouTube. Couple of things. One, from episode 4, Simon is not the only person to pronounce worry like worry.
What, so now there's two of you? That's doing wonders for your argument that it's not the normal thing. Dozens. Again, that's not helping your argument. I'm talking about the human race.
Okay, go on. And then secondly, I'm looking to apply to Oxford for Comp Ski and Maths. Many of your videos have been useful in considering this. Any interesting interview stories or stuff I should know to pass the maths entrance exam? Best way to practice for the entrance exam, if it's like the physics aptitude test, is to do math challenge papers. There's loads of them online, and they're basically the same style of question. As for interview stories, my favourite interview story was at Worcester College, which was just down the road from St Peter's. A guy, I think he might have been for engineering, the year before I went, so 2008, I think it was. Basically, he did his interview, and they do the interviews in college rooms, being like offices of fellows and stuff like that, so quite ornate rooms. And this guy did his interview, and he was incredibly nervous, so when he finished, he was just quite relieved. Went to leave via the door and opened it, and he realised that it wasn't the door, it was a wardrobe. And so he was like, well, I've got to do it now. And he got in the wardrobe and shut the door and then stayed in there for the whole rest of the, like, the next interview person came in, did their interview and left. And presumably just opened the door and was like, you're right. Just left.
Good to be back. Good to be back.
It's like, give that man a scholarship.
Yeah. He should have come out in a big thick fur coat and been like, have you seen Mr. Tumnus?
Yeah.
And like, you know, like just, you know, and really styled it out.
Or like bust the doors open and fall on the ground and be like, don't make me go back.
Yeah.
You won't believe the things I've seen. So yeah, don't worry. If your interview goes better than that, you should be fine. And then number three, I may be wrong, but you often talk about music. No, you're not wrong. Mm. From the classical era and before more, and then more modern music. What are your opinions concerning romantic era music and composers from that time? We sing a fair bit of romantic stuff.
Yeah, superb era.
Brahms, Bruckner. I kind of like some Wagner.
Chopin, Beethoven, Liszt, Tchaikovsky, Wagner.
You're reading
Schubert,
this from
Verdi,
a list,
Schumann.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
No, I like it. I personally prefer the Renaissance and Baroque period. That's just, and also the postmodern period now.
I think I probably prefer Romantic.
Yeah. I like orchestral music from the Romantic period.
I think there's more. There's certainly more of a spread,
yeah,
through kind of compositional style.
Oh, I've only just read Morgan's PS. He lives 5 minutes a walk away from Prior Park. Where I used to live. Ah,
where's Prior Park? As in,
it's just
next to. I know.
Right. We're talking about Capability Brown.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Oh, well, nice to be your past neighbour, Morgan. Thank you for writing in. Very quick message from Charlie Page. It would be very pleasant to witness a discussion on the show Twin Peaks. Primarily the first two seasons, the 90s version, and not the modern reboot. I have not watched any of it.
I've never seen Twin Peaks.
I've heard it's good. I mean, it was referenced on The Simpsons, so I feel like I should watch it just to get the reference.
No, I've never seen it.
It's David Lynch. It's meant to be weird, isn't it?
If it's Lynch, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think it was
mental.
David Lynch. If you think we should watch that, do email in, because...
Well, we could do a video on Sponge and Electric where we watch the first one.
Yeah, just see what you think.
Do like a half in the bag style thing of the first episode.
We still have the Kerbal stuff to go out when I get around to editing it. But yes, that's a good suggestion, actually. Next up, one from Griffin Nelson. Dear Simon and Dan, thank you, right order. I'm a student from the USA and I absolutely love...
Fuck you, Griffin. You're dead to me.
I like the fact that you're entrenching these belief systems.
Yeah.
If you're not with me, you're against me. I really enjoy watching your videos, Simon. I would also say Dan, but he hasn't made a channel yet. Again, Team Simon, thank you. I have some odd questions I'd like you guys to answer if you're able to agree on them. Question one, which one of you would be Harry Potter?
Me.
Yeah, it would be Dan. He does have more, as you have noted, he does have more room on his forehead for the scar.
Also, I'm actually a wizard, so
helps. And you wear glasses and, you know, you have the frame of a seeker.
Thank you.
I feel like I'd be a beater if I was to play Quidditch.
I think you'd be a wanker, to be honest with you. But, you know.
He's in a great mood today. Who has the better fashion sense? Given what I'm wearing right now...
Oh, God. Actually... Oh, no, don't move it. It looks like he's had a stroke. He's got no nose. That's...
I'm wearing my Ainsley Harriet t-shirt, which has featured in a vlog.
Which is a crime against the human race.
I walked in the office, and one of the postdocs was like, wow. She couldn't see the person directly in front of her because she doesn't have glasses on, but she could still see what this t-shirt was. Mm.
It's a pretty scary t-shirt.
I feel like Dan's probably got a better fashion sense.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Would you want to see what the future holds for yourself, anyone or anything, but you can never change or tell anyone what will happen?
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
No, definitely not. And then lastly, where would you most likely hide an object from one another, anywhere in the world? Marmite tin. If it was a small object, I'd put it in the Marmite, because never...
I'd grind it into a fine powder and put it in a tea bag.
Difficult retrieving it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I don't know, probably the cleaning cupboard, if you didn't want me to find it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Dan, I just let Dan do it all. Good questions, Griffin. Thank you.
You let me do it. It's like it's a present.
You've been good. It is for you. You enjoy doing it.
You've been good. You can clean the house again. Thank you, sir.
Oh, someone has specifically said, don't read this out in Correspondence Corner. Well, Jay writes, thank you for your email. Dan, your cover, if it's long.
Jay's a regular reader, I'm fairly sure.
Yes, actually, thank you.
I think he might have been the one that I met in Arena once.
Oh, cool. Yeah, Dan gets recognised in clubs a lot more than I do.
It's because you don't go to clubs.
This is true.
Yeah.
Dan, your cover, even if it's long enough to call it that, of Teardrop on your Instagram is amazing.
Follow me on Instagram.
What are you? You are at?
I'll check. Keep reading the email.
Your voice is
I'm not
beautiful.
So self-obsessed to know my that's my excuse I just can't remember.
Yours is too, Simon. Thank you. Don't feel left out. As an ex-music technology student, I wanted to mix and master it and even combine it with other instruments. Anyway, if you don't keep to any regular rhythm, making that rather impossible without a shit ton of messing about that frankly I can't be asked to do. I like this guy. My point is, if you're interested and can spare 5 minutes to sing and play along to a click track or even the original so I could arrange it, I'd properly appreciate it.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
P.S. I was rather disappointed at the lack of Choral Scholar chat in the last podcast. Keep the awesome work up. You're both amazing. Well, we rectified that this time.
Yeah. I'm Dan Moore. DanMaw.
No, I know you're Dan Moore.
Oh, no, right. Yeah. I was actually quite pleased with that. I thought it was quite nice.
Yeah, it did sound good.
There's also a really cool moment in the one of the second lyrics where, because my guitar is
a rather nice
lush,
guitar.
It's a Taylor 3-2-2 all mahogany. It's gorgeous. I was singing and I just managed. My tone just seemed to be right in that it made the guitar resonate while I was playing. So basically, I was playing the guitar, singing, and then my guitar was singing with me harmonically.
Like you can hear. When I farted once and it resonated.
Yeah, except this was slightly nicer than a fart. I like to think. You can hear a harmonic that's about a third higher than what I'm singing, and it sounds kind of cool. So yeah, give it a listen.
Oh, this is an email from a regular viewer of my channel, Elliot Conway. Dear Messrs. Moore and Clark. Sorry,
yeah.
Simon, it sounds a bit... Okay, I'm not going to read the rest of that. Thank you.
No. Just writing today to say that I love the Wikicast, as I often find myself down a rabbit hole of Wikipedia articles, and I'm so glad there's a podcast that just gets me. Simon's videos helped me through my undergrad, and now I intend to attend a law school. I like it.
Nice.
Armed with Simon's study skills and excellent music taste.
Congratulations.
Very, very cool. Particular Handel's Messiah, which is an all-time favourite. Banger. Absolute banger. Though I'm Jewish, so I'm looking forward into joining the Uni Chapel Choir, as I love the music, and it looks like a great break from study.
So I thought that was interesting, because there was a girl at my college in Oxford who was Jewish and sang, and I think a lot of people found it weird, but yeah. She was just like,
well,
I like the
well
music.
It's exactly what, you know, if you look at the number of people, if you took a study of the Exeter University Chapel Choir and you looked at those who were religious and those that weren't, the vast majority of us, I'd say, are probably agnostic.
I mean, most of us, well, everybody does it because they like the music, but I feel like for about probably 90% of the people, that's the only reason they do it.
Yeah. And it's, you know, obviously there's more to just singing. We are there to support the service itself. But,
yeah, we enhance the worship. We don't have to be, you know, worship ourselves.
But that's, it's a testament. If you're, you know, if you're interested in music and you're going to a university that happens to have a chapel choir, it would be a real shame not to at least... Even if you're not going to sing in the choir, go to the services and listen, because the music is incredible. You know, especially, you know, if they do Evensong, especially, I think that's probably your best time to go, because it should be a relatively short service. But you know, it's a little less intense than something like a Eucharist.
Yeah.
But the music is just it's incredible.
Next, an email from Andy Elliott. Greetings, Messrs. Clark and Moore. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say thanks for the podcast. You guys are only 5 episodes in and have already shot to the top of my list of favourites.
Oh, brilliant!
Top lad. Top lad. 3 points. One, Dan, start a vlog. The people need more of that magnificent forehead in their lives.
Thank you, Andy.
2, what is the fate of the podcast and channel once Simon graduates from his PhD? The whole point of the podcast is that we can do it remotely, that we can record it, Dan in Exeter and me in Bristol. So it will be continuing, and hopefully we'll be doing other YouTube content as well. Mm. We need to figure that bit out, but, you know,
we'll find a way.
That's a problem for future Simon.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
And then 3, Simon, thanks for the PhD videos. They've inspired me to keep working hard during the final year of my degree. Very glad to hear it. I'm glad to say I'm graduating with a first in computer science.
Hooray.
I also won a scholarship to undertake my PhD. Congratulations.
Well done.
That is, well, you know, clever lad.
Clever girl. Clever.
Andy with a picture of a guy. Clever girl. We've got to be, you know, even-handed. Your videos were so informative and really helped spur me on during the application and interview process. Well, Andy, very, very glad to hear that. I'm going to include a little fragment here from Sarah Cook. Just saying, as a reader from Australia, my Lord of the Rings DVDs have not got the spine inconsistency Simon mentioned a few episodes ago.
Thank God.
Because in the UK, it might be that I bought them as they came out and so they just updated it. Maybe if you buy them now, they're different. But I'm glad that this is a point of contention. You know, people have checked in the readership. And then one last email from Christopher Thomas. Subject, greetings from NYC.
Oh.
Very glad to hear you from the Big Apple. Dear Dan and Simon, I'm not so glad to hear you. I want to begin this missive, okay, you're clawing it back, by thanking Simon for his excellent video on various study techniques, filmed several years ago and posted on YouTube, where I'm sat on the edge of my bed very awkwardly. You can't tell in the video, but I'm really hunched over.
Readers, if you want to play a fun game, I played this game the other day with Pixel Girl. She came over, we had a cup of tea, and we decided to go through Simon's back catalogue of videos, and my goodness... There's some absolute gold in there, I tell you what.
See if you can find the most embarrassing moment you can and email it to us.
There's one where it's a Q&A, and I think someone
asked... study line is?
No, it's like your pickup line.
Pickup line, yeah.
And it's just... Whoa. I've isolated it down in a single clip. If you... again, our links to our Instagrams and Twitters will be in the description. Go to my Twitter and I'll post that clip. It's quite funny.
Woof. I'm studying computer science at Columbia after pursuing a very different degree in political science at a different American uni, and I'm finding your tips hugely useful. That's interesting, going from a social science to computer science, I thought. As for Dan, I must echo his endorsement of the utility of a good cry. I love myself a good ball, especially when I find myself reflecting on how good I have it afterwards. Oh, I thought you meant how good his life was. It's like, oh, it's just so great. Life is so amazing. I find it very conducive to cultivating feelings of gratitude.
I totally agree with you, Chris. I think it's something that needs to be spoken about more.
Bury those feelings, people.
About more. No, I mean about me.
Oh.
About more. See what I did there?
Yeah, right. That's good. One, two...
F***ing sake!
Thanks for your wry, luminous banter. I like that. I hope you produce many more podcasts to keep me company as I ride the subway. Well, we'll continue to do that. Although he's also
how big are the sandwiches over there?
About riding a subway.
Yeah,
can I get a 12-inch at 40 miles an hour?
Yeah,
please?
Yeah.
Whoa!
You just stand at the back of the room and they fire it into your gob.
Boom!
Yeah.
Thank you. P.S. Simpsons seasons 2 to 9 definitely belong in the Sitcom Hall of Fame. Thank you. Other honourable mentions include the UK and US Office.
Ah, see, here we've got an issue.
You like the UK but not the US?
I think, yeah.
The US, they're different.
They are totally different. And this is the thing.
I actually don't like the UK one that much. I find it, it's too cringe humour.
But you
for
like
me.
Cats, so anything you say is just disregarding it.
The humour is more clever, but... I just find it too awkward to watch.
That's exactly why it works. I feel like the US version of The Office would have been brilliant, but they shouldn't have called it The Office.
Yeah, it's a different show.
Yeah, and you know it's not great when whenever Steve Carell met Ricky Gervais at like the Golden Globes or something, and they would always be saying like, oh, how many awards did you win for the US version? Not as many as us, and it was. You know, like there is a difference, but
they've also said Cheers or Frasier. Not watched any of those, actually. Nope. Scrubs, thank you. Seinfeld.
I haven't watched any Seinfeld.
Seinfeld's meant to be great. And controversially, Friends.
Friends is meant to be good too. I've
not seen a single episode.
No, nor have I.
There was a very interesting thread on Twitter I read about how Ross from Friends is an awful, awful person. Which if you're listening and have an opinion on Ross, maybe you write that in.
So you know, I said we haven't had any technical issues.
There we go. It was me.
Do you want... No, no.
Oh, Dan's laptop has just died.
It's dead. It was going so well.
It's
just silently passed away.
Well, it's just as well, because I want to take you by the hand and a few other appendages on an adventure. Because we have other chapters of fanfiction to read out. Those of you who have sent in multiple chapters that we've read out, we will read those out in a future episode. But this week, I want to dedicate this section of the podcast to one particular fanfiction I've been sent. And you have not read this.
No.
So I'm going to read out the email from Charlie Page. Hi there, Simon and Dan. I've taken it upon myself to write a piece of fanfiction that will hopefully be read out in one of your podcast episodes. Well, you succeeded.
Hooray.
I've noticed that you do not allow swearing on your show, so I'm going to try and keep my use of cursing to a minimum. Thank you for the editing. Although this in no way means this piece of writing will be tame. In fact, this is far from it.
Oh, no.
Sit back, relax, and take it upon yourself to hopefully enjoy this rather succulent tale.
Oh, crikey. Okay.
Story told in first person from Dan's perspective.
Hang on, let me put my seatbelt on.
Oh, it does say story told in first person from Dan's perspective, so it'd be silly if Clarky Boy read this. Well, silly's what you're going to get, because one of us forgot to charge the laptop. Okay. settle down, everyone, for Juicy Fanfiction by Charlie Page. It started out like any other day. The birds were singing, the wind was whistling, and the sounds of young children screaming from the depths of Peter's house were echoing throughout Exeter.
Okay, this is good. I like this. That's funny. That's properly funny.
I was making breakfast, a good old fry-up, a favourite of mine, I may add. You could even call it the bee's knees. He's nailing your perspective.
Yeah, yeah, thanks.
They are nailing your perspective. We're getting better. I just finished my plate when Mr. Simon Clark walked through the door. He seemed excited. However, I did not think to ask why. He briefly said hello as he touched my arm and hurried upstairs. He seemed different. His mannerisms were rather unorthodox to how he normally behaved. It didn't concern me too much, so I continued about my business and settled down on the sofa. After a while, I began to hear rummaging around upstairs. Before I could call up to Simon, he called down to me. Daniel, would you mind if you came upstairs for a second? I did just that, and plodded my way to his room as I rubbed the corner of my right eye beneath my glasses. I entered his room and stepped in. I heard the door close quietly behind me, and I turned around to see something that would remain in my mind for eternity.
Oh God.
It was the man, the myth, the legend, Simon Clark, dressed head to toe in a black latex bondage suit.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No. No.
Podrick, stop eating bees.
Okay, come on.
There we go. We're going to make
I'm
it through
I'm actually
this.
Crying. I'm actually weeping.
I tried to run, but his reasonably large-sized hands, they're not reasonably large, I've got dwarven hands, grabbed me gently and picked me up, almost like the
grabbed
king of
me
the apes.
Gently.
Almost like the king of the apes, Harambe.
Crikey.
It was at this moment that I noticed a large collection of sexual paraphernalia surrounding me. Big man Sai pointed me to his laptop.
Christ.
Okay. It was running code. I looked closer, and to my horror, the screen displayed nothing but endless columns of 69. I looked back at Simon, only to see a macabre grin across his face. At this point, I really started to panic. I looked for other options to save my soul, but there were none. The grim realization that my 15-year-old body would not be able to cope
against
the colossal
power.
Okay,
alright, okay. I mean, that is funny.
The grim realization that my 15-year-old body would not be able to cope against the colossal power of the 27-year-old Dominator, 26, thank you, set in. But before I had time to think, I've been tied up hastily.
How far in are we? I mean the email, not...
We're about halfway in.
Thanks. God, that's halfway already.
Yeah.
God, it feels like more.
It's just the tip so far. A thick rope had wrapped around each of my limbs like a serpent, but they weren't the only serpents I had to worry about right now. I laid there, helpless, squirming around frantically. Why, dear Simon? Why do this? I cried in my middle class, fairly normal, yet with an ever so slight tinge of Australian-British accent.
It's true.
Oh, why? You asked Daniel. I'll tell you bloody well why. Back in May, when we played Kerbal Space Program, you deliberately ignored my advice on when to deploy your parachute. Resulting in your death. I do not like this act of mutiny, and I feel that it is necessary to punish you for your actions, he shouted.
He shouted.
But yeah, really in your face, wow. But it was just a bloody game, you fool! I screamed in desperation. But Simon was having none of it. He turned around and reached into a drawer. It's also drawer spelt D-R-A-W.
Okay.
He just reached into the really, action of drawing.
It's really metaphysical.
He pulled out a spread so unholy and satanic.
Oh no.
30-centimeter forehead drip with sweat.
No!
It was Marmite.
Oh Christ.
He began to smear me with his sinful food all over my body. Oh. He did not miss a spot. And I mean, he did not miss a spot.
Oh, Jesus.
I nearly threw. Simon then turned around, and that's when I noticed the equipment. Before my eyes, I saw a Canon 5D, a Rode NTG1, and a couple of softboxes covered by a white shirt because the light emission was too strong. Oh, this is so accurate. It was then that I realised he was filming a video. Simon turned to his camera and said something that made me pass out. Hi guys, and welcome to episode 1 of Crash Course, Daniel's Destruction.
Oh God.
To be continued.
Jesus. Oh well, that was good.
Oh,
that was terrifying, and I'm sweaty.
Oh, that could have gone a lot worse.
Oh, crikey. Dear that's Lord. Very well written though.
You really
that's marvellous.
Cheeky Instagram promo if you want to see the face behind the madness. Why would you not? Oh, and see that I'm not some fucked up 67-year-old man living on his own. He is Charlie Page, @full_
Okay.
On Instagram. Wow, Charlie, find him. That's... I am not the same now. Thank you. Thank you.
So, Simon, what have we learnt today?
Oh, well, we were meant to be learning about Walter Hummel, parentheses, musicologist.
Oh, Jesus Christ,
who was a scholar on the life of Mozart.
What were the dates that he was born again?
1883 to 1968.
Oh, so, okay, just a bit late for... I was going to say, we had that question about romantic.
Well, yeah. that's late kind romance.
Of, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, we talked about... we had a weird correspondence corner with the most bizarre bit of fan fiction we've ever received.
We did.
We needed to take a breather after hearing it.
Postulated over the lunar tales.
Yeah.
And how my inability...
Eating habits.
Yeah, yeah.
Game of Thrones more generally as well, but, you know, Podrick specifically. Organ recitals, Podrick's organ recital.
Yeah.
And
cathedral-sized orgies.
Also and cats.
And cat. Oh, yeah.
What an episode. Yeah. This is one of our best.
Hitting all the marks. That's all for this week's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to us on your podcasting service of choice. You can like us on Facebook, and if you'd like to see our faces, check out our YouTube channel, Spongy and Electric.
Game of Thrones fan theories, lunar tales, and bizarre sexual fanfiction can be sent to us at spongyelectric@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Join us again for another tumble down the wiki rabbit hole, and we'll see you next time.
Stop eating bees, Podrick!